So we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So this is part three of the round of creation, round of redemption. And we begin on volume two. May 24th, 1927. Jesus, my love, I want your hands in mine in order to give to our Celestial Father that love and that glory which you individually gave him with your works while being on earth. So we begin to understand what the round is. The round is to let Jesus become alive in us. We want Jesus to breathe in our breathing. We want Jesus to beat in our heart beating. We want the Lord to be Lord of our life. So whatever Jesus did while he was on earth, now we want that to happen in us. When we walk, we say, Jesus, come walking in my walking. When we eat, Jesus, come eating in my eating. You know, we let the Lord reign in us. But then this Louisa says this, but not only this, but I want to unite myself with you when you, Word of the Father, even from eternity, operated together with him, with his very works, loving with reciprocal love and with perfect equality. And I want to glorify you with that same glory with which you glorified yourself among the three divine persons. Now, this is what God gave to Adam. God breathed into Adam the Ruah of God, the breath of God. Why? Because there were no other gods around. God is so filled with love, so filled with joy and peace and happiness that he wanted to share this life of his with creatures. So he breathed into Adam this dirt, this dust, in order to have Adam be in his image and likeness to do what God does. Now, we have to understand that redemption is wonderful. We thank God. We fell so far from the glory of God that it took the Son of God and the Mother of God to come to earth to redeem us. And Jesus shed every drop of his blood to wash us clean of our sin in order to restore us. And now, 2,000 years later, he wants us to be sanctified. So what the Lord is doing is he's now breathing in. This is why Louisa is so important. He has breathed into Louisa the breath that he breathed into Adam. But more than that, that's why on Holy Saturday we say, oh, happy fall of Adam. Because God is going to do more for us now. Now we have the new Adam, Jesus Christ, the new Eve, the Blessed Mother. And now they have a newborn, Luisa Picaretta. She is the firstborn among all those that are going to live in the divine will. Jesus wants us to recognize that this life that he wants us to have is not just a good life, a holy life, a saintly life that we have learned about for the last 2,000 years, but a divine life. So he asks us to be baptized, first of all, so that we are in God's image. And now with this great gift of the divine will, God wants us to be in his likeness. This is what Luisa is saying. I want to glorify you with the same glory with which you glorified yourself among the three divine persons. To be in God's image is important, but we must be also in his likeness. This is why he said to Peter, when Peter fell through the water, when he was walking on the water, he didn't say, good job, you walked 10 feet on the water, this was just really good. He said, why did you falter? Where is your faith? See, Jesus wants us to do divine things. He said to Philip, you feed the 5,000. It wasn't a joke. He says, I want you to feed the 5,000. I want you to do a divine thing. He says, when you say to that mountain, move, it has to move. This isn't just words. It is to command the earth, as Adam did. Adam was Lord of the earth. When Jesus says, you can say to that sycamore tree, be uprooted and cast into the sea, it must obey you. This is in God's image and likeness, to do what God does. That's why Jesus said, you'll do far greater things than I. How can we do far greater things than God? Well, it's to be one with God. And this is why this prayer, we've learned vocal prayer, mental prayer, contemplative prayer. And Jesus is saying, good, but I want to give you more. And this is what the prayer of creation, the round of creation, the round of redemption are all about. It is more than what the saints have done. Now, you have good, holy, saintly books, and they're wonderful. But Jesus says the only book that will transform a soul is from the book of heaven. It is. Why? Because the word of God, Jesus Christ, spoken by the Father, dictated these words to Luisa. So as you read each word, as St. Annibal de Francia said, he says each word is greater than the entire universe. This is what God wants to give us. He wants to give us this abundant life. So we're going to learn, and again, this is part three, we're going to learn how to pray the way God prayed. Now, we pray the prayers of St. Teresa and of St. Francis and St. Ignatius. We've learned those prayers, but it's following the holy life, the holy prayers of a saint. Jesus is now saying, I want you to pray the way I prayed. I want you to pray the way my mother prayed, the two that came from heaven. And so as we learn this round of creation, round of redemption, our lives become happier, holier. Our lives become filled with peace and joy and happiness. Why? Because this prayer that we pray is from heaven. It's not from a saint. It's from Jesus himself. It's like, who could glorify God with the same glory of God? Who could do that? Well, the newborn can. The one who has the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. So volume 23, December 8th, 1927. After this, continuing my round in all the things created by God, I paused when he created Mary, the sovereign queen. She was all beautiful, pure, spotless, the new and greatest portent of all creation. See, in the divine will, there is no time or space. You can be in Bethlehem at the birth of Jesus. You can be on Golgotha, witnessing Christ's crucifixion. You can be at the Sea of Galilee with Jesus and the apostles. You're not trapped by time or space. Why? Because this is where we're supposed to live. See, Our Lady has been telling us for years now, get ready, get ready, get ready. Saint Faustina, Jesus says, the divine mercy said, prepare the world for my second coming, my return. Our Lady of, you look at all the apparitions throughout the world, to get ready for the return of my son. With Father Gobi, Our Lady said to Father Gobi, By 1997, everything's complete. No, in 1996, all the writings were released. Everything is complete. Jesus says that he saved the divine wolf for the worst of times. And as we read these writings of Louisa, we enter into heaven while on earth. This is why you're so happy as you read. And if you're not happy, if you're worried, you're fearful, you're anxious, complaining, negative, if you're sinning, it's because you're not reading enough. It's to enter into this life, true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary. So you can go back to when God created Our Lady. And you can be with Jesus, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We can be with Mary as at her conception. And you can be amazed of what God is going to do. See, again, there is no time or space in the divine will. You enter into eternity. See, now Jesus says that he will be with us until the end of time. And a lot of people say, well, that's, 5 billion years from now, the end of time. No, it's not. We have to go back to eternity. That's where we're supposed to live. We're not supposed to live here. See, the Garden of Eden. Eden in Hebrew means pleasure. It's the garden of pleasure that we were supposed to be living in. So people on earth are looking for earthly pleasure. And this is why there's so much sin. It's because they're trying to find pleasure away from what God has planned for us. He wants us to re-enter into the garden. He wants us to re-enter into paradise. So Jesus is saying, and he says this, and Our Lady is telling us very clearly, you have to change now. Because we're coming to the end of time. We have to re-enter into eternity. So this, the whole thing that the church has given to us with the new evangelization, this new evangelization is this gift of the divine will. Yet the church is not aware of it. It was like in 1925 when the Pope made the celebration of Christ the King. Jesus says the church isn't aware of what they're doing. I am a king, but I have no kingdom. I have no subjects yet. And the church is getting the world ready for my kingdom to come upon earth. So the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding the church as it always does. And this new evangelization will be this great gift of the divine will. And so God has given it to us first. I don't know why. But he's asking us to read this, to study this, to put this into practice, to get ready for the new heavens and the new earth. Volume 26, July 27th, 1929. I was praying my round in the creation to follow all the acts of the divine will that it had done in it. And as I arrived at the point in which the Supreme Being created the Virgin Mary, I paused to consider the great portent from which redemption had its beginning. So again, Jesus wants us to know that this gift is of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. I mean, we talk about Louisa as the newborn, the firstborn, but the life that God wants us to possess is the life of Jesus and Mary. You know, St. Louis de Montfort taught us to go to Jesus through Mary, and a lot of people protested it. You know, well, I can go directly to Jesus. I don't need Mary. You know, but it's the way to get to Jesus is always through his mother. You know, she is the queen of heaven and earth. And so the same thing happens here. When we look at this gift of that's given to Louisa, we see the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. So we fall more in love with Jesus, more in love with Mary, as we grow in the knowledge of the divine will. As we grow in this knowledge, how much we love Jesus, how much we love Mary, because it's their gift, but they've given it to a human. Now, what human? I mean, see, the saints followed the virtues of Jesus and Mary. Some of the saints, great saints, had a virtue or two of Jesus or Mary or both. No one had the true life of Jesus and Mary. That's given to Louisa. That's why now we go to Jesus and Mary through Louisa. And again, some people are objecting. We don't need Louisa. Well, this is the way God planned it. See, Adam was a human. And when Adam fell, the Son of God, the Mother of God, had to come to earth to redeem mankind. And now they have breathed into the newborn their life, the new Adam and the new Eve. So it has to come through a human. Sanctification will come to us through Louisa. Now, why? Because it's not Jesus' job, it's not Mary's job to do this. They brought about redemption, and Our Lady co-redeemed with Jesus. But to bring sanctification, it must be through a human. That was Adam's job. And when Adam failed, God had to restore. And now he's bringing us back to where we were before the fall. This is what's so glorious about this gift. And we are going to leave time and enter into eternity, where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to leave this understanding of earth and enter into the garden of pleasure, the Garden of Eden. So this gift is so important for us as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, we become more peaceful, more joyful, more happy. Now your neighbors, your friends, your family, your parishioners are not going to want this because they have what they want. Jesus has given it to us. And he says, all I ask of you is that you say fiat, that you do what I want you to do. Let it be done to me as you say. So we learn from Jesus, Father, not my will, but your will be done. We learn from Mary, fiat mihi. I am the simple maidservant of the Lord, humble maidservant of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say. And we learn from Louisa, the newborn, fiat voluntas tua. Let it happen in me, which you, God, want. Vine 35, October 25th, 1937. I was praying my round in the act of the divine will, and arriving at the conception of the Blessed Virgin, I stopped to offer God the power and the love that the divine persons had in conceiving the celestial lady in order to obtain the coming of their kingdom on earth. Now, this is spectacular. I mean, to go to the conception of the Blessed Mother, to offer to God all his power, all his love in conceiving the Blessed Mother, to return back to God what he breathed into Our Lady, what he gave to Our Lady. See, this is why Jesus says, you'll do far greater things than I. He wants us to do what he has done. That doesn't mean we are God. We will never be God. But we will be like God. We will do what he does. So there will come a time when somebody is sick and we just touch them, they will come back to full health. If somebody's dead, we can just touch them and they will come back to life. Why? Because it's not us. It's Jesus. Jesus, come breathe in my breathing. Jesus, come beat in my heart beating. Come, divine will, come reign in me. I want you, Lord, to take full possession of who I am. That's why we were created. God breathed his life into Adam so that Adam could possess God and God could possess Adam. Mutual possession. So this abundant life has not been seen yet by anybody. No saint has ever lived this life. It is the true life of Jesus. It is the true life of Mary. It's the preternatural life that Adam had before the fall. What is the preternatural life? It's to integrity, impassibility, immutability, immortality. I can't even say it. Integrity, impassibility, immutability, immortality. This is what God has given us, to live a life of God. And Adam gave that up. He was the only human to live this life. So Jesus and Mary come to earth to live their life. And now they have breathed this life into Louisa, and Louisa has not received the glorified state yet. But Jesus says in volume 24, the last chapter of volume 24, he says that every Jew, every Buddhist, every Hindu, every Muslim, every Protestant will become Catholic. And the reason is the universal life that God breathed into Adam is the Catholic life. It's the universal life. So Jesus and Mary come to earth. Why? To start the Catholic life again. And for 2,000 years, we've learned the dogma and doctrine of our faith. And now God wants us to breathe in this universal life so that there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. This is God's plan, and it's going to work. It's going to look as if Adam never sinned. Everything will be repaired. Everything will be redone. Everything will be reordered. I mean, that's what we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle in us the fire of your love. That's the divine will. Send forth your Spirit, and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will transform the face of the earth through us. That's our job. It's Jesus says, this isn't to be holy and good and saintly. It's to live one with God, fused with God in his holy divine will. To live the life that God originally planned for Adam. And because Adam failed, we had to be redeemed by Jesus and Mary, Our Lady co-redeemed with Jesus. And now they've given this life to Louisa. Volume 24, 7:19-28. I was praying my usual round of the divine volition, and as I arrived at the point when the celestial queen was conceived and had use of reason and made the heroic sacrifice of offering her human will to her God without ever wanting to know her human will, to live only of the divine will of God, I thought to myself, how I wish that my celestial mama, Mary, would take my human will, unite it with hers, and give it as a gift to the Supreme Majesty, so that I too would not know my human will, but only live of the divine will of God. So this is one of the things that we do. With Louisa, we go to the Blessed Mother, and we say, take my human will, unite it with yours, and give it as a gift to the Supreme Majesty. I don't want it anymore. I only want to live in the great gift of the divine will. So again, how do we do this? We go to Jesus and Mary. This is always what we do. We are honoring Louisa because she's the newborn, the firstborn. But linking ourselves to Louisa, we always go to Jesus and Mary. Volume 26, 7:30-29. Then I continued to do my acts in the divine volition, and as I arrived at the point when it called to life, to daylight, Mary, the sovereign queen of heaven, I thought to myself, in creating the most holy virgin, God not only enriched her beautiful soul with many privileges, but her nature also he must have transformed in order to render it as pure and holy as it is. So here, again, this is why we fall more in love with Our Lady as we read the divine will. We fall more in love with our God as we read the divine will. Because these truths are very important. Mary isn't just a woman. She isn't just a good woman. She's not just the mother of God. She was transformed at the moment of her conception in order to be pure and holy, to be a reflection of God. When we can see, the church teaches us this. When we look at the Sacred Heart of Jesus, how beautiful his heart is. When we look at Our Lady's Immaculate Heart, it's a reflection of Jesus's. It is also surrounded by thorns, but you see the roses. It is also split in two. It is also on fire. That's Jesus's heart. And he wants us to know how beautiful his mother is. She is the first of all created. She is the mother, Theotokos, of God. So we're never saying that Louisa is equal to Mary. We're never saying that Louisa is greater than Mary. It's very clear she is the little daughter of Jesus, the new Adam, and Mary, the new Eve. She is the newborn. Again, that's what we're supposed to be. We are called to be sons and daughters of Jesus and Mary. This is our life. To have Jesus' image and likeness, okay? When a person has the likeness of their parents, they walk like them, they talk like them, they laugh like them. You're just like your parents. And as a matter of fact, you give your parents such a hard time, by the end of your life, you start looking like them. So what God wants is He wants us to be like Himself. When we look at somebody, we want them to see God. When we speak to someone, we want them to hear God. We're nothing. But in the divine will, we give up our human will so that Jesus can come alive in us. That Jesus can reign in us. 5:27, 10, 12, 29. I was doing my usual round of the divine fiat and calling everything it had done in creation and redemption. And I was offering them to the divine majesty to impetrate that divine will be known. See, who's to know this but us? Your family doesn't want this. Your neighbors don't want this. The religious don't want this. Who wants this? You. That it becomes known. We have to know this. We have to study this. Why? So that it might reign and dominate in the midst of souls. Then I continued to follow the act of the divine will, and as I arrived at the point when it called the sovereign queen out from nothing, I stopped to comprehend Our Lady, all beautiful, majestic. Her rights of queen extended everywhere. Heaven and earth bent their knees to recognize as empress of everyone and of everything. And I, from the bottom of my heart, venerated and loved the sovereign lady, Mary. And as the little one I am, I wanted to make a jump onto her maternal knees and say to her, Holy Mama, all beautiful you are, and you are so because you lived of divine will. Oh, please, you who possess the divine will, pray that the divine will may descend upon the earth to come to reign in the midst of your children, so that Jesus can be King and Lord of heaven and earth with children. See, this is our job, is to go to Jesus and Mary through Louisa to call the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. See, we're the ones that are to call the fire down. See, the first purification was the flood, which washed the world clean. The second purification was the blood of Jesus, washing us clean from the devil, from sin. The third purification is calling fire down to bring the final purification of the earth. So when we say, come divine will, come breathe in my breathing, we're actually calling fire down. As Catholics, we wear scapulars. We pray the rosary. But like Elijah, who called fire down, we are also calling fire down. That scapular should help us remember that our job is to bring fire from heaven to earth. And this fire is so beautiful, it's so holy, it's so perfect, that we will be in ecstasy. The fire for those that do not love Jesus will be wailing and grinding of teeth. It will be awful for them. Why? Because the love of God is coming to the earth. The true love of Jesus, the Sacred Heart, the true love of Mary, the Immaculate Heart, is coming to earth. And when this fire comes to earth, for some it will be good, for most it will be bad. If you love Jesus, if you love Mary, you will be in ecstasy. If you are in rebellion against Christ and His church, and do not love His mother, it will be horrible. Why? Because we've already said no to God. I wanted to live my life. I'm looking for the pleasures of this earth. And God says, I'm sorry, I've got something else in plan for you. But if you want this earth, then you have to go the way of the world. You can't come to paradise. So this is why it's so important to be faithful and obedient to Christ and His church. What God has planned is going to astonish the world. Volume 27, 1:20-30. I was praying my round of the divine will, and I arrived at the point when the Queen of Heaven was created and the divinity laid down the garments of justice, and as though putting on the garments of a festivity, I renewed the solemn act of the beginning of the creation, calling to life Adam, that noble creature who, by living in the divine will, the only purpose for which God had created man, would not go out of the house of her father because of only our human will puts us outside of God, of his dwelling, outside of his goods, outside of his sanctity, outside of his light. So again, we want to re-enter into this life. Okay, what is it? It's God's dwelling, it's God's goods, sanctity, and light. Life, love. That's where we're supposed to be. And that's why as you read the volumes, you are happy. Because the Word of God is dictating these words to you and it's expanding His life in you. And the more that you breathe this in, the happier you will be. And Jesus says that the chastisement is going to come. He says, because the world does not deserve this gift and has to be purged. That's what the fire is. But he says the survivors will be living in the divine will. He says that the chastisement will have little or no effect upon the souls living in the divine will. Why? Because everything is fiat. Everything is let it be done to me as you say. There's no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. It's to live heaven on earth. And Jesus says, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, he says, you are anticipating hell. He says to Louisa, if you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, you are anticipating heaven. You have to go to where you are living now. If you're living heaven on earth, you go to heaven. If you're living hell on earth, you don't go to heaven. Possibly you might go to purgatory to be purged. Don't want to even think about the other thing. Our Lord loves us so much that he has great plans. The new heavens and the new earth are very close. Very close. And all you have to do is just open your eyes and see what is all around you. It's very close. Okay, so volume 20. See what's great is this gift. There's no time or space. You can go to the Garden of Eden. One of the great things that God has given us is when we do our round of creation. When you walk outside, when it's sunny and warm and you're barefoot, you can actually go back to paradise. Jesus said that to Louisa. The garden that was right outside St. Anthony's orphanage. He says this is a simile of the Garden of Eden. It's not as beautiful, but as you go out there, you enter into the garden. God will transport you. The gift of bilocation is something that is going to be very common for the souls who are living in the divine will. What God wants us to do is he wants us to go and be with David, King David, to be with Moses, to be with Adam, to be with Abraham. See, it's God is going to bring about something that, again, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. For those who love God, everything is going to be astonishing. See, don't limit God. See, the divine will, like Jesus says, say to that mountain, move, and it has to move. It's not that, Jesus was just talking. He meant it. He wants us to do divine things. Now, nobody is doing that at this point. Why? Because we haven't proved to Jesus that we want this gift more than anything else. So that's what Jesus says. When mankind has proved that they want this gift, I will give it to them. That means we have to focus on this gift more than anything else. And again, there's a lot of wonderful books out there, a lot of great videos out there, but there's nothing like this gift of the divine will. There's nothing like it. Because this is the life that we're supposed to be living. It just says in Scripture, if a man lives to be 100 years old and dies, he would be thought accursed. Because God, a day is going to be like 1,000 years. That's what God has planned for us is eternal life. With a human body. We're not supposed to be spirits. We need a human body. And no one at this point possesses it. So when you hear somebody saying, well, I'm living in the divine will, Father Bucci says they're fooling themselves. Nobody's living in the divine. You want to live in the divine will. And that's why we're studying this. We want this gift. But nobody possesses it at this point. So again, don't say, well, I'm not raising people from the dead. Well, you're not living in the divine will yet. See, there will come a time when people will walk through the hospitals who are in the divine will, and the hospitals will just empty. As you walk by the room, people will be healed. See, Jesus doesn't want a Band-Aid approach to what he's bringing about. He wants a complete restoration of man. That's why every Jew, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Protestant will say, I want to be Catholic. I want this universal life. Because that's what's coming. One church, one faith, one shepherd. Volume 20, 11 to 26. I continue my round. You can see here the prayer that Jesus wants us to possess is to let him take us where he wants to take us. You know, say you go outside and you're trying to pray your rosary. And you hear a dog barking. It's going, arr, 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 and you're going, that dog. God says, that's an I love you. So we hear the barking and we go, well, I love you too, Lord. I'm going to take all these barks of all the dogs and give it back to you, Lord, as an I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I adore you, I worship you. You know, you're outside and the mosquitoes are out there and you're swatting mosquitoes. Those darn mosquitoes. No, it's like Jesus saying, this is an I love you. He said that to Louisa. Louisa said, why are there so many bugs? And Jesus said, because I could not stop saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. See, we have to begin to see the I love yous that are outside. Every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand is an I love you. Every snowflake, every drop of water is an I love you. We've got to see them. We've got to hear them. We've got to smell them. We've got to taste them. We've got to feel all the I love yous that are around us. And then return to God. Reciprocate that I love you back to him. And I love you, Jesus. See, he says this to Louisa. It's the heartbeat. It's the breath. He breathes into us, I love you. And we breathe out, I love you. He says, I make it a competition. I give you life. You give me life. I give you love. I give you love. We give him love. So it's your heart. The blood pumps in, the blood pumps out. It's constantly saying to God, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. This is the life of heaven on earth. See, that's why there's no worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. Why? Because everything is peace, joy, and happiness. Everything is fiat, fiat, fiat. And this is what we have to learn how to do. We have to learn how to live life of heaven on earth in us as the saints possess it in heaven. You know, this is a truly an amazing thing. She says, I continued my round at everything that had been done in the supreme will. I arrived at everything that my celestial mother had done in it. So now it's not only watching her conception, watching her birth, but now doing what Our Lady did. Why? She was in the divine will. And when we enter the divine will, we possess what Jesus and Mary possess. And I said to Our Lady, Sovereign Queen, I come to hide my little love in the great sea, ocean of your love, my adoration toward God in the immense ocean of yours. I hide my thanksgivings in the sea of yours. I hide my supplications, my sighs, my tears, and pains in this ocean of yours. So that my sea of love and yours may be one, my adoration and your adoration may be one, my thanksgiving may acquire the vastness of your own expanse, my supplications, tears, and pains may become one single sea with yours, Mary, so that I too may have my seas of love, my seas of adoration, my seas of I love you. See, when the priest puts the drop of water into the chalice, the priest says to me, we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. That drop of water, that drop of nothing is us. And that drop of water, as it goes into the chalice, that water becomes wine. It's not oil and water. It's not separated. It becomes wine. And God wants us, may we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. The sharing in divinity is the life that we're supposed to possess. Filled with the Holy Spirit. All the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit are supposed to be alive in us. Not just to be good and holy and saintly, but to share in divinity. This is what God has planned. And just as your sovereign height impetrated with its longed for Redeemer, so I too may present myself before the divine majesty with all these seas in order to ask, to beseech, to implore that the kingdom of the supreme fiat be known on earth as it is in heaven. My queen mama, I must use your very life, your very seas of love and of graces to conquer it, to make the divine will concede its kingdom upon earth, just as you conquered it, to let the eternal word descend. Jesus, come to earth. Don't you want to help your little daughter by giving me your seas, your oceans, so that I may obtain that the kingdom of the supreme fiat come soon upon earth? See, Jesus said to Louisa, I will wait centuries until I find the souls that want what I want. I will wait centuries. So we have to prove to Jesus that we want his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven soon. Why? We want to focus on this gift. We want to draw closer to Louisa so that we can love Jesus and Mary as Louisa loves Jesus and Mary. This is what God is looking for. This is what God is asking. Volume 32, 326, 33. After this, I followed the divine will in the incarnation of Jesus, the Word, in order to make my love, my adorations, and thanksgiving run in this act so solemn and full of tenderness and excessive love that heaven and earth are shaken or remain mute, not finding words worthy to extol an excess of love so amazing. God becoming man. See, you can go there to Bethlehem. You can go there to Nazareth. You can be there. You know, when you watch the Holy Father kiss the statue of the baby Jesus, you know, this isn't just something to do. It's we want to hold the baby Jesus. We want to kiss the baby Jesus. You know, when we have the cross and we kiss the feet of Jesus, it's not just something to do. We want to kiss Jesus' feet. We want to kiss his wounds. See, what the divine will does is you actually go there. You actually go back 1,000 years because 2,000 years because there's no time. There's no space. And see, you have to train yourself to allow God to bring you where he wants to bring you. Because it's not only your desire to go to Bethlehem, it is Jesus' desire in you to go to Bethlehem. It's not only your desire to go to Golgotha, it's Jesus' desire that you go to Golgotha. Mary wants you there to look at her son. Mary wants you to gaze upon Christ crucified. Jesus wants you to see how he shed every drop of blood for your salvation. See, he said to his mother, you must watch me die. You must help me die. See, this isn't religion. It is to know Jesus Christ, to be intimate with Jesus Christ. And not just to know about Jesus Christ, but to know him and love him. And as the saint said, serve him. But what Jesus says to Louisa is to possess him. This is what Jesus is asking for. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.